podcast, so we are providing help, hope, and resources through casual conversation. And this week, y'all, we have the title or on deck this week to where we're talking about forgiveness, and we're talking about one, the power of a man's forgiveness, and then secondly, life after the mess ups. Life after the mess up. So what we do know is most of the time we have a hard time with forgiveness. We don't even know what it is. And then we continue to, once we walk in unforgiveness or not even giving ourselves the opportunity of forgiveness, we continue to mess our lives up, or we continue to walk in the negative part of life. So we kind of find ourselves there. But today, y'all, guess what? I have two special guests with us on today, which is our minister, Rick Myers. He's passionate about living, studying the Word of God over 20 years. He's a husband, a father, a mentor, and a business development manager for Coca-Cola. So y'all go ahead and put your hands together for Minister Rick Myers. That's my brother. That's my brother. And then we have Pastor Domingo Mackey. Y'all, he wanted me to tell y'all that he's an international speaker. So we already know that he's a teacher. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And that's really why we have him on deck today, to be able to get that counseling aspect of how all of this can go if we take counseling seriously. So we're going to pull on him in that area right there. He's a life coach, a leadership developer, and relationship expert. Relationship expert. So y'all go ahead and put your hands together. Pastor Domingo Mackey. So like I said, give me a sec. Let me go ahead and get back over here on this side of things. Y'all want to say anything to the people real quick?
What's up? What's up, people?
What's up? Here we go.
So we just gonna get right on in it.
Yeah.
He ain't got no warm up.
No warm up.
No teaser. No chaser.
No teaser. Because this, you know, because actually I'm CEO and founder of Healing Haven of Atlanta. So y'all know over there, we specialize in the healing and development of young men and young fathers. So again, in that organization, that nonprofit, that space, there's a different level and area of service. So while we specialize again in the healing development, we talk through mentorship and we deal specifically with men. Usually it's not a lot of nonprofits that deal specifically with the needs of the man. Most of them are dealing with young ladies, women-based, and those kind of programs. Those kind of programs, of course, get a whole lot of funding, get a whole lot of attention. And again, the heart and the passion and the backstory, the experiences, again, that I have, but then I know that you guys also have through experiences. What it is to be a man in today's America, what it is to go through situations and circumstances to where you can be at a deficit, but you're still expected to rise above it.
Yes, sir.
You know, to where you can have the ups and downs of life and things like that. And again, you're still expected to just push through it. Well, what we do know is most of the time we suffer in silence.
Yes.
Most of the time we suffer in silence. Anybody want to speak to that real quick?
Pastor Mike, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I will say is that the very definition of manhood has been attacked in the world today, right? Back in the days when our parents, as we, you know, most of us are in our 50s or late 40s, and so what we have seen is the generation before ours define manhood as simply provider and protector.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
And if you defined yourself that way, then you basically rendered yourself obsolete.
Yes.
Think about it. Right? Women no longer need you to take care of them.
Yes.
Right? So providing, most women are making more money than men nowadays.
Correct.
Right? And then on top of it, they don't no longer need you to protect you, to protect them rather. Mm-hmm. Right? Most of them may have, like, you know, what do you call it? Those Smith & Wessons that they carry in their purse. You know what I mean? Or they've been taking MMA fighting. Yeah. So they probably could kick your butt. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the reality of it is that if you define yourself by these small characteristics, then you, in essence, rendered yourself obsolete.
Gotcha.
And so what we have to do is understand that man was intended to be more than that, right? Man was intended to be a nurturer. Okay. Man was intended to be a leader. And this, to your point of your question as to why, is because everybody right now is struggling because they don't know that these other areas are okay. To have emotions and to be able to manage your mental health and to manage your self-care and to be able to be a nurturer to others, to be able to love others. Those things are not really happening in our society today.
Hmm. You got anything to add to that, Rick?
And your question was, why we suffer in silence?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we suffer in silence for a number of reasons. I think one of them is because it's not cool to show your emotional side, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right? Like you mentioned, growing up as a kid, you know, when we fell off the bike or whatever, dad would come like, boy, you all right? Let me see. It's all right? All right. Spit on it, put some dirt on it. Okay, get back on out there.
Yeah.
Right? And so we were taught to be closed. And so now in this era where men are, let me get it right. Men are over-mothered and under-fathered, right?
It's great.
Over-mothered, under-fathered. And so now they're hyper-emotional.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not saying that you shouldn't have emotion.
Yeah.
And so now they are. So not now some of the younger men are super emotional.
Yeah.
Now some of the older men are under-emotional. So to be able to find that balance, like he said, to define that role as a man as more than nurturer and provider, then I can really be vulnerable. I can open up and be like, you know what, man, that hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
And not be looked upon as you're a punk or you're less than a man.
Yeah.
Right. So I think once a man gets healthy and I mean, get whole and healthy, then I think he should be able to, you know, he won't be able to suffer in silence anymore. He'll have the confidence to vent.
Yeah.
In a healthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. So notice what you say. He'll have the confidence to at least get to a place to where he knows this emotional outburst, you know, while it's grounded and rooted in something happening. Is there's still another way, feelings wise, that I can go about this? I'm kind of getting to a place of because we're talking about the unforgiveness of all of this stuff. And most of the time, because we're not taught that we can properly deal with our emotions. You said over-mothered and under-fathered. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time our men are hurt. Mm-hmm. Most of the times our men don't have fathers. Yes. You know, we're taught to physically do things. Mm-hmm. You know, and I spoke before about how we put ourselves out there as provider first. Mm-hmm. Instead of human being in person.
Yes.
You know, so when that happens, again, the minute I stop providing is when I'm shunned, when I'm disrespected, when I'm made feeling less than, inadequate, a loser, and all of these things. But again, these are the things that in order for me to get your approval, these are the things that I think I must do, which is to shower you with things that I can do stuff to make you stick around, you know, make you make myself attractive.
Yes.
That's usually what it is, you know, especially when I lack self-esteem, when I lack self-worth. And again, because we're talking about unforgiveness, it's hard when I lack self-esteem and self-worth and I have healthy people that are in my life to be able to kind of piggyback and say to me that that's okay to feel this way. We find ourselves most of the time just kind of floating through life, not understanding, is it even okay for me to forgive myself when I mess this thing up, when I make this mistake? Y'all ever had that situation happen?
So I wanted to connect this thing, right? Because I talked about this attack of what it means to be a man, and I didn't tie it in back into the forgiveness piece, which is this understanding that the real problem occurs because there is no set guideline for it, right? So because man is not really being defined today, right? Women will say, be a man. But the dude don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. And does she even? Mm-hmm. Right?
And then, I provide, though.
Nah, but that's the thing, though. And yeah. So he's angry now because she's coming at him sideways, right? And so now he's got all of this anger and buildup of all of this aggression and hurt and pain that he's experiencing because everybody is telling him, right, that he is supposed to be a man. Man up, right? These kind of statements are continuously happening to him, and he's not even aware as to what. How can you ask me to be something that you that no one has really defined, right? Mm-hmm. And so as a result, it causes him to have these hurts and these pains. Plus, he's dealing with trauma from the past. Especially a lot of Black men deal with, I can't tell you how much PTSD, but it's never defined as that, right? We don't have that even in our vocabulary. Now we're starting to start seeing more and more people talk about these things. And so this forum is exceptional for that reason. I know when I want to give y'all a working definition to me for what a man should be. So I'm going to give it to you the way it was given to me, right? King, mm-hmm. lion, mm-hmm. lamb, mm-hmm. and priest. Mm-hmm. Now, the priest, I want to take that word out of there because for some people, priest got a real, real bad connotation. Let's keep it 100, right?
Right.
So what I'm going to use that one as is just servant, mm-hmm. right? So the servant, a man should serve his family, his community. He should have at the very nature and core of his heart, a heart of service.
Okay, let me jump in. Let me
go ahead.
What about the traumatized kid, though? Because what you're saying, you jump straight to man. What about that kid that's traumatized? What about that kid that grew up always at the back of the line? Mm-hmm. What about that kid that lacks identity, that lacks love, that lacks anything good happening in his life? You know, what about that kid? Because that kid is the one that's always struggling to find his identity, find his place in life, find his place in his family. That kid is the one that usually, now you're saying this thing about man, that kid usually winds up being the greatest F up to his family, right? That kid traumatically has absorbed so many negative things happening to him, things that he didn't even deserve. So now he becomes a man and leader of his household and stuff like that. And again, we're talking about forgiveness. So we're laying the foundation for what this forgiveness piece of this is. So if we talk about forgiveness from a biblical perspective, let's just talk about it real quick from a biblical perspective. Okay. And then we'll take off from there.
So from the biblical perspective, the word forgiveness simply means to send away. Right. Mm-hmm. And once, like God says, I'll forgive your sins, right? And throw them in the sea of forgiveness, never to remember them no more, right? So they are sent away. And the problem with forgiveness with some of us is we don't send it away.
Yeah.
Right? We'll receive it from him, but we don't send it away. Mm. Right? Never to remember that anymore. Mm. Right? That's what I did. Even when somebody tries to box me in by what I did in my past, I can't let them.
Yeah.
Even if it's my mom, my dad, whoever.
Yeah,
it is.
But that's coming from a believer in the Christian.
But what I'm saying, but I have to. So in order for this young man that's hurting, one of us from the kingdom got to deposit something in him. We got to speak to his a different narrative, because the world is going to keep telling him that to keep him, marginalized, beat down, depressed. He's going to always remember that. For instance, like when you go through the penal system. Right. They always telling you that you're a criminal.
Yeah.
Right. So if you go do 5 years in prison, right, you do 5 years. For the whole 5 years, they told you you're a criminal.
Yeah.
Then they want you to get out and be reformed. Well, hell, for 5 years, you've been telling me I'm a criminal.
Yeah.
That's my mindset. I've been around a bunch of criminals. But until something changes my mind. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's where the kingdom That's where the kingdom people come in. The kingdom men come in. The kingdom women come in.
Yeah.
Right? Because I didn't want to use Christian because that's it's so watered down. Everybody.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. But you understand something. And this is the thing. And this is the issue. Because because you're talking about kingdom stuff now that's another level of understanding. Mm-hmm. That's another level of acceptance. Mm-hmm. But if kingdom people treat me the same way as the people, like you were saying, in the penal system of telling me I'm mm-hmm. not, mm-hmm. I'm this, mm-hmm. negativity for 5 years is embedded in my brain. It's embedded in my spirit. It's embedded in my soul. And I get out and the people out here treat me the same way. Mm-hmm. How can I learn to think anything other than that? Okay.
That's a good question.
Anything other than that. Because remember, even at Healing Haven of Atlanta, while we specialize in the healing and development of young men and young fathers, there's a reason for the specialization in healing and development. Because our guys are like healing.
Yeah.
Our guys need to be developed. But that healing piece comes with the forgiveness piece. Man, so it's so many things that happen. We want to forgive ourselves. We do some stupid stuff. We make some mistakes and we make some choices. Because in some of this stuff, it's choices that we make. And Rick, Mac, most of the time we just think, hey, I made that mistake. I deserve the consequences of my actions. Or somebody else is going to determine that I deserve that, you know, the mm-hmm. consequences of my actions. Mm-hmm.
Like with healing, man, for instance, one thing about healing, you ever had like a rising or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until you squeeze that. Yeah. And then even when you squeeze it, you got to get that core out, right? Because if you don't get the core out, it's going to reinfect, right? Or you got an ingrown hair. The skin will cover over. It'll be painful to the touch, but I got to dig in it. And a lot of time for the healing, we don't want that wound dug in.
No,
right?
No.
We don't want that dug in, right? So we're going to leave it alone and we just keep letting it fester over and cover over, become callous. But that root or whatever is in there is still hurting.
I think the reason that this stuff happens is because it's very deceptive, right? So for instance, if I cut myself right now, right? If I get cut, I'm going to put a Band-Aid over that cut. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now if I put the Band-Aid over the cut, everybody who sees the Band-Aid is going to know that I've been cut. Mm-hmm. It's evident to everyone around me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case with emotional wounds. Mm-hmm. So what happens is if I get cut from an emotional wound standpoint, mm-hmm. what's going to wind up happening is that I'm still going to put a Band-Aid over it. The only difference is this Band-Aid is going to be called a disguise. That's why people be acting like, no, don't bother me. Oh, I don't forgive them. I'm good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And no, you're not. You didn't process that hurt. You didn't process that pain. So when I learned how to really, truly forgive, I learned it as a process. So first step of the process, I made it really simple, right? First step of the process is to forgive the offense. It may sound silly, right?
Hold on. Right. You forgive the offense or... you're forgiving the offense of somebody else, of the offended.
You're going to forgive the offense itself. So when I say the offense, I mean like if somebody lied, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Lying is the offense, mm-hmm, right? And you are making a conscious decision to forgive that offense. If the person stole something, right? You want to forgive the offense of stealing. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that important? Well, I'll give you a kind of personal example, right? If the person that you had some type of conflict with or what have you that you had to forgive, mm-hmm, lied, mm-hmm, and you don't forgive the offense, mm-hmm, and you go on and you forgive the offender, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. What's going to wind up happening is it's going to show itself up in some other interaction. So for you, because you haven't forgiven that offense, liars are the worst people on the planet. y'all tracking with me?
Right.
So if liars are the worst people on the planet, anybody tell a lie. Mm-hmm. It could be a coworker at work. Mm-hmm. You hate her now. Mm-hmm. Why I hate her? She didn't do anything to you. But because you heard her lie, that's a wrap. Mm-hmm. Because you never forgave the offense. So there was no healing of the wound in that area. Mm-hmm. Do that make sense?
Right.
And a lot of people are dealing with these traumas because they haven't gone on and forgiven the offense. The second thing you want to do is you want to forgive the offender and everyone who may have offended. Mm-hmm. That means, like, for instance, for me, my wife was upset with me because of some actions that I took. Mm-hmm. But I lied and said I was with my friend. Mm-hmm. She can't stand my friend. Mm-hmm. 'Cause she forgave me mm-hmm. for what I did wrong, but she didn't forgive my friend mm-hmm. for his part mm-hmm. and role in it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So a lot of women who are dealing with recovering from infidelity, for instance, right? They'll forgive their mate, but they didn't forgive all of those other people that was a part of it. And it was like a cancer that remained.
Yeah, but that's...
Those are deep hurts now
right.
that we right. that we're talking about.
Right. So when we talk about forgiveness, though, mm-hmm. what's the... forgiveness is not for them, it's for you.
Of course.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
So it's pretty much you setting yourself free.
Right. Right.
So when I forgive you for what you did to me, mm-hmm. it helps me. Mm-hmm. Because unforgiveness is a prison that locks me in.
Yeah.
Right. I can't move forward. Every time, like you said, a buzzword come off about lying, every time it does triggers something to me. It yeah. triggers something to
yeah.
me. Right. Yeah. And the worst prison to be in is the one that you put yourself in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Christ, he came to set the captives free.
Yeah.
And if he set us free and I let myself stay captive or a prisoner to unforgiveness, then I'm not receiving his forgiveness. That's why he says, forgive. You need to forgive somebody else because I forgave you.
Yeah.
And when you look at it and say, you know what? Dang. He did forgive me for
yeah.
that, right?
Yeah, yeah. But we're still talking about from a Christian perspective. I'm talking about hold up. I'm talking about regular Joe Blow because it's regular Joe Blow that don't know that forgiveness is even available. It's regular Joe Blow that gets off in, like you said, it's a prison. We know that it's a prison. I've come to learn that it's a prison to not forgive somebody else that most of the time don't even know that they offended you. They didn't go out of their way to offend you. They don't even know that they've offended you. But like you said, they triggered something. Like you said, they just happened to be a part of a situation or circumstance and they was just doing them. But it triggered something. So now you don't even like them, mm-hmm. right? But like you said, now you don't put yourself in this prison mm-hmm. of emotions, of hurt, of heartache, of disappointment, and all of this other stuff. So coming from regular Joe Blow and not a Christian's perspective. Now, we're talking about biblical principles, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But there's so many people that are walking around right now. I was included in that before I started understanding the grace and the mercy and the power of forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? To be able to even say, like you said, the power that's associated with, man, forgiveness ain't even for them. It's for me. But you have to, for me personally, I had to realize, and it was only through revelation that I realized that it was affecting me to my soul exactly. to walk in unforgiveness. I thought that it was just emotions that, again, was real emotions. Mm-hmm. I thought that there was real emotions and that I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can be pissed off at him. I can be mad at her. You understand? I can be disappointed. I thought I can do that and still be able to function in life.
You said about the average Joe Blow, right?
Mm-hmm.
The non-Christian. They have to find a way, like they're just coping, right? They'll say stuff. They'll say stuff like, oh, I forgave him, long as I don't ever see him again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for that, it's going to be the way that society does it, culture does it, yeah. right? Or some people say, we cool, but as soon as I see him, boy, it's on sight.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to stand on business. I'm standing on business as soon as I see him. And so what do we tell them? If we're not bringing that to them or somebody got to get that to them, for them to get true forgiveness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In order to get true forgiveness, it got to be this biblical principle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the God that we serve, somehow, some way, he's going to make an interaction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For them to get that real, what we're like the young people say, that real, real.
Yeah.
In order to get that real, real,
yeah,
it got to come this way. Yeah. Now, and why that non-Christian or unsaved individual is out in the world functioning.
Yeah.
They're just coping.
Yeah. They don't know it though.
They don't know it, but that's when the light, when we shed the light on it, say, listen, man, there is no unforgiveness in there. How you know I did forgive him? Why is it so sensitive? Anytime somebody brings up that, you showing your fangs and everything.
Yeah.
But I want y'all to see something though, right? So if you look at my hand right here, right? Mm-hmm. I have like this little cut that's still evident, right? Mm-hmm. When that first happened to me, man, I think they put like 14 stitches there, right?
Okay.
When that first happened, bro, I had that thing wrapped up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If anybody come next to my hand, I'd be like, yo, what you doing? Mm-hmm. Right? Why? I'm pulling away. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want you to re-injure what has already been injured. The evidence of healing, right? Because unforgiveness, or I should say injuries that you have, offense that you may experience, they cause injuries mm-hmm. emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason why I was bringing up that wound, because it's causing a wound. Anybody who's been hurt before by somebody will tell you that it has caused an emotional wound. Now, that person has to have healing. Mm-hmm. The forgiveness is a process. And once that process is complete, then it is completely healed. Mm-hmm. This thing took a process. Mm-hmm. During that process, though, I was very guarded mm-hmm. of this hand. I wouldn't let nobody mm-hmm. touch it. Mm-hmm. But right now, I give you a high five, bro. Why? Because it's healed.
Dude, I get you.
It don't hurt no more.
We get you.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So sometimes the evidence of your healing is that it don't hurt no more. Sometimes the evidence of the forgiveness, the true forgiveness, meaning that I released the person and I'm no longer holding on to that, is that I can't be around that person mm-hmm. and not have to feel some kind of way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't be in their presence and not get all bent out of shape.
That's a maturity. Yeah, but that's maturity. You got to get to that. Because again, if you're dealing with somebody that has low self-esteem, mm-hmm. has low self-worth, my values in the trash, everything about my life was traumatic and negative. Mm-hmm. Most of the things. Anyway, I don't even know that I'm even worth the forgiveness piece of it. Mm-hmm. All this mm-hmm. stuff's supposed to happen to me. Mm-hmm. I'm always... If anything good happened, I'm always waiting on the other shoe to drop.
So to speak.
You understand? I'm always waiting on the other shoe to drop because, again, I don't know what this other thing is. And then the other part to this is people that that say they love me, they hold my feet to the fire when I say I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They hold my feet to the fire when I offend them again. Mm-hmm. The minute they're triggered, they bring my old stuff back up. Yeah. You understand? Mm-hmm. So how do I, forgiveness, right? I said, hey, you know, I'm sorry. But if you continue to hold my feet to the fire every single time.
They didn't forgive because the brother said that the definition of forgiveness was to send away.
Hold up.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, that's maturity. But you're a Christian though.
I know, but so even with maturity, like for the, and I keep, for the biblical principle of forgiveness to work, an individual who just becomes a Christian can experience that. The maturity, there are some levels of maturity certain things, but to experience that forgiveness, if you say, okay, Lord, you said I had to forgive him. Okay, I'm going to forgive him, right?
Yeah.
But what does that look like, right?
Yeah.
So my pastor was dealing with it. He said, so I'm like, I can forgive you, right?
Yeah.
And release you, send that away, never to remember no more.
Yeah.
But our fellowship don't have to be the same.
Woo! There we go.
You're forgiven.
There we go.
Doesn't mean I got to give you another opportunity to come back in my life. Right? I choose that.
You can choose
that. And I'm not wrong for choosing not to let you back in.
Yeah.
I'll give you a case in point.
Uh-huh.
When I got incarcerated,
mm-hmm.
one of my homies... He turned state evidence on me.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah. If he don't say anything, they got to let both of us go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We talk on a regular basis right now.
Yeah.
People who didn't, and I did 12 years and 6 months.
Yeah.
People who don't, people were madder, people who did not serve a day in prison was madder at him than I was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to tell him, I said, yo, how are you so mad?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forgave him. Wow, if I was you, I wouldn't have no dealings with him.
Yeah.
I said, well, Christ had dealings with me.
And I forgave him. Talk to him right now.
Yeah.
Right? Talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
When I go down to Miami, I try to go see him.
Yeah.
Right? Because I understood the price of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. What it costs for me to be forgiven in God's sight. Yeah. So how dare I hold that against him?
Yeah,
man, right?
You gotta talk deep about that.
Yeah. If I receive forgiveness, why can't I extend it in the same manner?
Yeah.
Right?
Because you hurt. What you mean?
You hurt. Yeah. I get it.
You disappointed.
And that's
for part in the same process. Manner that you forgive, you will be forgiven.
You feel what I'm saying?
That's right there.
Yeah. So it's a standard.
Yeah.
Right? So I chose to extend that standard to him. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't hold it over his head. If we in proximity and somebody tried to beat him up about it, I'm stepping in and be like, yo, man.
Yeah,
you wrong.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he did. You know what I mean? That ain't going down right.
Yeah, it's power in it. And that's why we're talking. That's why we're talking about this topic, because there is power in forgiveness.
Yes,
and especially for a man, because we're usually devalued, underappreciated. A whole lot of, again, once we put a provider out there and our self-esteem and our self-worth is tied up in the provider title only. That's why this is needed and necessary, because, again, there's power in this. And I know that, again, to be true for myself, because, at one point in time, I was easily offended. Mm-hmm. But why was I easily offended? Because my self-esteem was in the trash. My worth was in the trash. My stuff was always predicated on what somebody else thought about me, how somebody else felt about me. So if they had a bad day, they could have just been having a bad day. So if I didn't get the response that I thought that I should have been got, or the attention that I should have got that day of respect and all of this other stuff, my whole day was messed up. You understand? Based on somebody else's feelings and emotions. But then we're still talking about sinful people that got their own stuff going on in life. You know? So in this, when we don't put things into perspective, we don't understand how much power we give to the offended, the person that we offended. You understand? We don't understand the power and the control that we give to them, because like you said earlier, if this comes with manipulation, it comes with manipulation. So if you're not settled in yourself and your self-esteem is in the trash, and you know that you can control me because I value what you say about me, I care about what you say, but you're not settled in your spirit, you could puppet me anytime you feel like it. And this happens more often than not, that even the person that's closest to us that we love, right? They can puppet you because you based on emotions.
Yeah, but at the same token, though, is offense a choice? Like, to take offense, is it a choice? For me to be offended, is it a choice? Because when we talk about forgiveness, right, we have a choice after an offense, right, to either forgive or to hold it, that offense over the person, right? And so the question is offense a choice? I put that out there to y'all.
Yeah.
There was a comment on the
screen. Yeah. It says the discussion is about manhood. Doing what is hard is part of being a man. It's hard. Forgive anyway.
Yeah, that's serious.
It is hard, and you got to do it anyway. Like that's a good.
But
good
that
response.
Person that's talking, it sounds like he's very mature in his relationship with himself.
Exactly.
It sounds like he takes accountability for himself, because that's another thing too. If I take no personal accountability, then everything is everybody else's fault.
I'm gonna be offended. There you go.
And then I'm offended. Yes. Yeah. I'm offended by that's what good. They said.
There we
and
go.
What
that's
they
good.
Did.
That's good.
Right.
That's good.
I can tell you this, right? So this is real talk, right? Right now, I feel a little heavy. Mm-hmm. So if you start calling me fat boy, big man, stuff like that, I might get offended. Why? Because in my mind, I see myself as having an issue there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Versus if you had to say, man, you so skinny, man, I bet you could hula hoop, you know what I'm saying, in a Cheerio.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or whatever, right? I laugh at that. Why? Because I know I'm not a thin guy at all right now. Mm-hmm. Certain things are laughable to you because you don't believe them. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times we take offense because of insecurities that we have within ourselves.
And this segues. This is great because it segues to the next question. It's exactly that. Somebody put it on the screen. Why do we have trouble receiving forgiveness?
You know, what if the voice that's saying the negative mm-hmm. is you? Because we have a lot of self-speak, right? And this mm-hmm. is one of the things I deal with a lot in counseling, right? We have a lot of self-speak, mm-hmm. but oftentimes, like almost 85% of what we self-speak mm-hmm. is negative.
Of course.
So what I like to call what you described, mm-hmm. I like to call that living to an audience of one. Mm-hmm. When you live to an audience of one, then you only allow that one to have say in who you are, in your identity, and who you call yourself to be. Mm-hmm. So anyone that speaks contrary to what he has said about you mm-hmm. is automatically needs to be rejected, even if that person is you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Y'all hear?
Yeah. You
working right
now. I ain't mean to point now. I apologize for you. I know my people on YouTube, they probably like, man, why the man playing? I ain't pointing at you like that. I just got excited about that because that's a big deal. Like, you gotta forgive you.
Most definitely.
And then you gotta stop talking bad about you.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Like, if you are forgiven, then you free. Stop talking bad about yourself. Stop replaying all of the past mistakes.
Can I get your cash out?
Yeah.
There you go. Pass it back. So that's where we was going. It starts with you. It starts and it ends with you. You understand? So if I forgive me, mm-hmm. like you said before, the way you turned a deaf ear and you worked up your ignoring muscle, mm-hmm. I got to forgive me first. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, what a lot of us don't understand. We give somebody else the authority to try to forgive us, and then we try to piggyback off of them co-signing on our forgiveness. But I got to forgive me first.
But can I just say the four steps of the process or that process?
Okay.
Because if anybody's out there and you're listening, listen, the first thing that you need to do is forgive the offense. The offense itself, you need to say, hey, listen, I am now going to forgive the offense of whatever it is. The second thing you need to do is forgive the offenders and anyone who has offended. So if it's the offender person that offended you specifically, like that lady that said that thing to you, you got to forgive her and anybody else that had played a part in that role, right? But then this is the key and this is the most important part. And I don't know how you do this apart from relationship with God. So I'm not talking to everybody here because y'all that don't believe, I don't know what you're going to do for this position. But when you get to number three is you're going to have to ask God to heal you of the hurt and the pain. Because, man, what happened to you happened. Yeah. And those emotions are valid.
There we go.
They're valid. And you got to redo. And then the step four is just to repeat that process over and over and over again, as many times as it take until the healing comes.
That's great that you said that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what this whole conversation is about the levels of maturity, the levels of understanding, but then being able to identify the fact that I need this for me. Yeah. I can't give you what I don't have, which means if I walk through life offended all of the time, mm-hmm. my kids going to walk through life in offense all the time. My household is always going to be tense mm-hmm. all the time mm-hmm. because somebody's offending somebody and there's no forgiveness in that. Love and forgiveness can't dwell in this, unforgiveness can't dwell in the same place. You know what I'm saying? But then we try to leave families from this space of unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. So then when that kid is out of line and you've been there the whole time and you've been training and teaching them the ways of the Lord, right? And you've been doing the best that you can, and that kid does something that offends you, that kid doesn't understand that really it was something from your past that they triggered. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. But because we're walking in unforgiveness, now I can't love them through that. Because I don't know how to love them through that. But then, like y'all said, ooh, there's a Jesus Christ, though. There's a Jesus Christ that already paid the price for this. Mm-hmm. There's a Jesus Christ that says, judge not lest you be judged with the same measure. Right? So we don't know that until we get into that relationship piece of all of this, of being set free in these areas. Mm-hmm. Man, I had a situation, and we all grown, we all been here. Had a situation last week, as a matter of fact, a business partner let me down, man. Let me down. Wound up doing something stupid. I trusted in him. I believed in him. Mm-hmm. And he did something that was against you. Anyway, it disappointed me. Mm-hmm. It disappointed me to the point to where it threw me for a loop, because I love this guy. Mm-hmm. This my guy. Mm-hmm. Right? It wasn't until, and this was a whole year that had gone by since the last time I talked to him. But then I found an opportunity in church to just go up to him and tell him, hey, man, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. You understand? So again, the forgiveness wasn't for him. The forgiveness was for me. Mm-hmm. I got other stuff going on. I can't keep walking in unforgiveness. And I got levels to what's happening in my life. You understand? So to have that small little piece and act like it doesn't affect the whole thing, it does. It eventually does. So anyway, it wasn't really about him. It was really about God dealing with me in that moment. That, like you said, woo, it was one of them things. Hey, if I see him, it's on sight. It's on sight if I see him, because you disappointed me, you hurt me, you let me down. I trusted you not to do what you did, and you did it, right? Most of the time, we associate that money with unforgiveness. So I'm speaking from a recent place of having to walk this thing called forgiveness out. Y'all understand?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That thing, it's real. You know what I mean? And then once you experience unforgiveness and see, like, so for instance, one, we had a meeting, I think it was last year?
Mm-hmm. Last year?
I work for Coca-Cola. Yeah. And I'm in the headquarters downtown, sitting in this big boardroom, right? We having a meeting.
Yeah.
And I almost started crying.
Mm.
Right? Because I'm looking like, I'm like, Lord, look where I'm sitting at.
Yeah.
I don't supposed to be here.
Ooh. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
But you forgave me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You forgave me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying that to say that with the forgiveness that I extend, it may result in you and that individual going to another place.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or let me rephrase that. You going to another place.
Yeah.
Because most of the times, the person that you got, that you failed, that offended you, and you got unforgiveness for, they be laying on the beach in Jamaica.
Yeah. Yeah. They chilling. They good.
A fruity drink, and they don't even know that you offended.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You in a whole prison, doc.
Yeah, you in a whole prison.
A whole prison, doc.
You in a whole prison.
And they on the beach chilling.
Yeah.
And so it'll take you to another level, that forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
And so when you walk in it, that's the thing, receiving it and then walking in it.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How do you receive that? How do you move in that forgiveness?
Yeah.
You got to keep reminding yourself, because the enemy or the accuser or the brother is going to always remind you of what you did.
Yeah.
And you got to remind him, but I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm forgiven, like you said, that voice of one.
That voice of one.
Got to be, whatever he says about me, whatever the Lord says about me, that's what I got to say about myself.
Man, my preacher in me is like raging right now, right? So I'm going to just say this. Mm-hmm. If you're here today, right, and you're watching this, or if you wind up watching this later on, the ability to be able to get in relationship with that one, I don't want to end this podcast without giving you just some real, right? There is a way to enter into relationship with that one that is not exclusive just to us here. That is available for everyone. And it is simply just believing a narrative. It is believing that there was a guy that was born to a virgin, that lived this sin-free life, meaning he ain't make no mistakes, y'all. And then he died. And then other people saw him again, walking around, that he rose again. And the Bible teaches us that if you believe that narrative, if all you do is just say, you know what, I want to believe that narrative, you will be saved. So if you're here today and you're watching it or you're watching this online, that's why I'm looking into the camera because I want to talk to you directly.
Yes, sir.
Christ is available for you. And all you have to do is believe that narrative. A lot of people find it hard to believe that it is that simple to be able to enter in relationship with God. But God has been yearning for you. You have not, you are not even watching this by accident. Like, you are here by divine appointment.
You better teach.
And he loves you beyond measure.
Yes, sir.
And he wants to give you the same forgiveness that this brother talking about and put you in places that you don't deserve to be simply because he is good.
Minister Rick.
Yes, sir.
Why his voice got to go?
Man,
I love the Lord. I love the Lord.
That's the invitation voice.
Yeah, that's seminary.
Thank you. It ain't your bad. No. We good. Thank you. So, how do I apply the forgiveness to the mess ups? Life after the mess up.
So let's say this, right? First and foremost, when you mess up, own it, man.
Can we own that?
I'm
embarrassed. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, I own it.
It
ain't that big of a deal, man. People get over stuff, man. I promise you, man. A lot of times,
man, they're gonna look at me sideways if I own it, man. I don't just want to own it. What?
At the end of the day, once you own it, then it's up to the other person. See, I walk in title, bro.
What do you mean? I want my title, dog. Listen, what you mean?
You might get to keep your title or you might not get to keep your title.
Exactly.
But you will get to keep that.
I'm reminded of a scenario. It was a politician. I think he was out of Louisiana, I think. He cheated on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And before the news could break the story, he did a press conference and broke it himself.
Boom! Wow. Why?
Had already told.
Do you know it only stayed in the news a couple days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had already confessed.
So you know what?
Uh-huh. I was going to ask you too when you was filling out that application for Coca-Cola. Weren't you tempted not to put that down there?
Man, you know what?
Oh Lord! You know what I'm saying?
Hold on! Because this is why. What we on? We good?
You good?
Okay, that's why we talking about life.
I'll just make sure everybody don't.
Okay, cool. That's why we talking about life after the mess up because we don't want people to misunderstand all of this.
That's awesome right there. So, my fiance at the time, she was my fiance at the time. I was living in Miami, and she said, "Hey, I met this lady today. Came in the store, and I told her you needed a job. She said she worked for Coca-Cola. She can get you a job. She said call her. So I called the lady, told them, you know." I've been in prison, incarcerated. She said, "Well, we only gonna do a background check to go back 7 years, right?" I said, "Well, if you do something with 7 years for me, I'm good because I've been in there for 12 and a half years, so that was good, right?" Watch the divine orchestration. When I download the application and fill it out, on the application, the bottom, you know, they put that at the bottom with that felony stuff.
Yeah,
it said, "Have you been convicted of a felony or released from prison in the last 12 months?" When I filled out the application, it was 13 months, so I got the check. No.
Wow. Ah, glory to God.
I got the check.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So now I've been working there for a number of years, right?
Yeah.
They switched companies.
Wow.
So Coca-Cola North America leases out the metro area to different bottlers.
Mm-hmm.
So this time, the bottler that had it, his contract was up, a new one was coming in, and everybody had to reapply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this new company's application, it ain't say nothing about no 12 months or whatever.
No.
It just said, "Have you been convicted of a felony?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "We'll explain that interview."
Yeah.
Right? Wow. So I go to the interview, I'm dressed out. I got a three-piece presidential blue
suit.
I'm clean. Looking like Barack. And so, I'm sitting down with the interviewer. She said, "Oh, it's a nice outfit." She made small talk, then she went straight for the jugular. She said, "Now tell me about this felony." And I began to tell her. You know what that lady said?
Mm.
She said, "Wow, that's a powerful testimony. Do you ever tell that in church?"
Mm.
I said, "I have a time or two," and moved right on.
Boom.
There's nothing else said about that.
Boom.
So
today, number God. Though,
so
God.
That, but that's why I'm. That's why I believe that the Lord led you to ask that question because it goes back to what you said.
Yeah.
Walking in the forgiveness after the mess up.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
After the mess up. Once I received the forgiveness of God,
yeah,
right? I did not, and did not put myself in no other crazy situations. Yeah. Not saying that I'm sinless.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I ain't getting no more crazy stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. My past don't bother me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It has never hindered me from doing anything.
Yeah.
Live where I want to live. I get pulled over by the police a couple times. You know, when they run you, they know who you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ain't no crazy guns drawn, no car. They just say, whatever, slow it down or whatever. Hey, go sign the sticker just to let y'all with a warning. Like, none of that crazy stuff that I would thought would be associated with my record comes my way.
Wow. That's because you're walking in the grace, brother. Because I can promise you that when you struggle like I do with just telling it all and bearing it all, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to walk in that just like that true forgiveness like you talked about, man, I'm telling you, bro, it keeps eating at you.
It will.
Things keep coming up.
Yeah.
You know, and then what you do is you keep replaying your past mistakes and you don't free yourself.
Yeah.
You never let yourself go. Okay. And I don't know what that is. I struggle with it myself in that regard, just being transparent with all of y'all that I think that there's a part of you that still sees yourself as that other person.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Most definitely.
Right?
Most definitely.
And then as a result, you don't free yourself, even though everybody else around you has forgiven you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you kind of stay locked there. And you got to send that away.
And that's a trick of the enemy, right?
Because
if he could keep you stagnated right there.
Yeah.
For instance, people who work with me, when I'm led sometime, I tell my testimony.
Right.
And you know the first thing they tell me?
Right.
You lie.
Yeah.
You ain't never been incarcerated.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You lie.
Yeah.
Right? But it goes back to the, it's like one of those church colloquialisms.
Mm.
I don't look like what I've been through.
There we go.
Right?
There we go.
And it's the truth.
There we go.
So,
yes, sir.
So it's certain narratives, like if a person is incarcerated, it's certain narratives what they think that person should look like.
Should look like.
I should have, and no knock to no people who got this. They think I should have face tats or neck tats or use a certain vernacular or carry myself in a certain way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they don't see that, and when I tell them that, they be like, nah,
yeah,
I think you lying.
Yeah.
If we did them three things, you know how they do them three things and they say which one is true?
Yeah.
Right?
Two
truths and a lie. Two truths and a lie. They're gonna miss you every time.
But the thing is, my brother, for you and for anybody else who may be experiencing that same thing, you got to keep telling yourself. Like you said, over and over again.
That's what I was about to share with y'all is that even though I'm still in that place in some areas of my life, right? Because I'm not completely, getting this thing perfect. Yeah. But even though I'm in that place in certain places of my life, I understand that this process works. So the reason why I mentioned the process was because I know it works. There's been other things in my life that I have actually seen the complete healing from, that I did forgive myself from, or that I have forgiven others from. Does that make sense? So forgiveness is a process. And I think you should not be so hard on yourself. And I just say that kindly before we close, because I don't know if I even have another opportunity to speak with y'all, but I'm just telling y'all, man, don't beat yourself up.
Well,
like you are, there's a verse that is so comforting for me in the scriptures. It says that God does not see us, but as anything but just dust.
Yeah.
So he like, listen, you know, you was just made from dust.
Yeah. Well, to dust you're gonna return.
That's it. So so if you could, man, see yourself like that. Don't you know what I mean? So that way you could forgive yourself.
Yeah. Well, Sean. So like you were speaking of earlier, we're gonna wrap this up in a minute, but making that choice of forgiveness has been freeing. I've been there. You understand? I've been ball and chain shackled with the disappointments of life and making bad choices, right? Making bad decisions and living in dark places. I've been there. But boy, whoo, at this point in time, I'm walking in the freedom of all of this, understanding that the Lord is my shepherd, right?
Yeah.
Understanding that any situation and circumstance that I've gone through, you know, it was already orchestrated and accounted for. My steps was already ordered. He already accounted for this, mm-hmm. right? That my life is not my own, mm-hmm. right? But I do have a choice for freedom, though. Mm-hmm. I do have a choice that at the end of all of this, that I know with living in a dark, traumatic space looks like, mm-hmm. and I know what that process of now saying enough is enough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give Jesus Christ a real chance at this.
Can I just read, because I don't want to misquote it. Let me just say it real quick. Psalm 103, it's verse 13 and 14. Listen to how it reads in the New King James Version. It says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, man. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all getting back on here, man, and sharing your experiences. And again, the aim is for young men, young fathers to be able to provide a platform of providing help, hope, and resources through casual conversation. These are the resources. These are the conversations that are usually ducked in. You know, people are ashamed to have them, embarrassed to have them because of where they've been. Most of the time because they can't see where they're going. You understand? So in this, we do have a 1-800 number for those that are basically in a space to where, man, you're just trying to figure some stuff out. Your back is against the wall. You're in a traumatic situation and you just don't know which way to turn. And you're in a dark space. We're going to provide a 1-800 number for you a little bit towards the end here. And also we'll put it in the comments. But also... we have, man, get with a faith-based leader, a credible faith-based leader that's going to lead and guide you through this thing called life, man, and relationship, again, with Jesus Christ, man, for us. Get with a credible therapist. Get with a credible, man, your support system has got to be just that support, which means, y'all, it's okay. I'm looking into this thing. It's okay to, once you forgive somebody, to now put some boundaries and parameters up, because that ish hurts. So and hurt people hurt people. So exactly. If we're walking in forgiveness, and that means we're walking in freedom. And even the person that is closest to us most of the time, we are not going to arrive at the place of forgiveness at the same time. And I got to be okay with that. You got to be okay with that. Right. But again, we want to be able to provide resources. So go ahead, counselor.
I was just going to tell you, listen, if you need some counseling and you don't have you just want to have some place to have as an outlet so where you can talk and share and that stuff is not spread and your business stay your business. Right. You can come and reach out to Healing Haven directly. You can go onto the Healing Haven website and then just reach out to us, or you can reach out to us through Facebook. Instagram, right? We on all of the social media platforms.
Healing Haven ATL.
Everything will be showing up on Keep Your Chin Up YouTube page as well. And so reach out that way to us. Also, if you are struggling right now and you are finding yourself in a really, really, really dark place and you think that you might want to hurt yourself, man, I want you to pick up the phone and I want you to dial 988.
988.
That's all I want you to do is just pick up the phone right where you are, down 988. And there are counselors that are available right there over the phone that will sit and talk with you. Because you are worth it. You're worth it to us.
You're worth it to us. Like that. Like that. Pick your head up. Ain't nothing down there. Head up, shoulders back, chin up. Power, authority. Walk in that. Keep your chin up. Until next time, y'all. Peace.